And we've got a reasonable morning for those of you who are here and are not running the marathon. Our granddaughter is running the marathon and her boyfriend, so we've got our thoughts with them. They're doing it for charitable purposes, so it's not just for themselves. Well, this morning we come to our theme of He Restores My Soul. But our reading, our prime reading, of course, was Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, I always feel, encapsulates the Christian life. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I don't suppose many of us would know what a shepherd is outside of a picture book, because it's not part of our cultural life. But of course it was in the days of Jesus. It was part of their culture. Being a shepherd or having sheep, cattle was around. They're an agricultural people. Therefore, it was them. We have now motor cars. We might know more about a Ford motor car than we do perhaps a shepherd. But what is a shepherd? When we lived in Thailand, we were in an agricultural situation, and although we were in the Thailand, there was an Indian enclosure immediately behind us, and every morning the sheep would go off and they would come back and they'd be brought back by the shepherd. And then the shepherd would have to try to corral them into the enclosure. And I can remember quite clearly one day when they didn't want to go in. They wouldn't go in. And so the shepherd got hold of the ram by his horns, held his head firmly, and directed him towards the enclosure. And as the ram went there, so the sheep followed it. But the shepherd had to guide it. The shepherd had to care for it. The shepherd had to corral them. And I think that's really very much a picture of what Psalm 23 is talking about in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, your shepherd, and my shepherd. He corrals us, he guides us, he's around us. And I suppose it's a bit hard to say that a shepherd loved every sheep, but it certainly looked after them. And if any went missing, he went after, looked after them and sought after them. And so the idea of a shepherd then is something that is reassuring. The Lord is my shepherd. I just love that psalm because it's often used at funerals as well, because it's something that can speak to everyone. And very often people who come to funerals are only what we call the three times a lifetime people: hatched, matched, and dispatched. You know, born, they go into church when they're hatched, matched, when they're sort of married, they come into a church. When they're dispatched, they go into a church. That's what we call the three times a year church attenders. So when you get to the dispatch stage, you can use the 23rd Psalm quite effectively, and you can speak to people who perhaps have not darkened a church doorways in years. And it speaks to people. The Lord is my shepherd. So again, the good news of Christ, the good news of Jesus. It's mentioned more than 70 times by Jesus himself, the good news. We are in a journey, and life is temporary. Life is a journey, and this is what we're doing there. We're just going through a journey. And people who get their name down in history, we remember them, we read them in books, but they've gone, they've moved on. We are remembered, and probably lovingly remembered, by family, and most likely will be. I remember people in this church who now left the church. They've gone on. But they're remembered. Why? Because they're part of a family, part of that family of Christ. But it is a journey. This is transient, passing through. And so that comes to that next part of Psalm 23. When I go through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. When I looked at translation again, and one translation in the Amplified says that when I go through the valley of darkness. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on holiday in a place like Austria, but if you do, you'll find that there are high mountains. And though the sun might rise naturally about 6 or 7 a.m., you might not see the sun till about 10 a.m., because by that time it's had to rise up over the mountains. In the meantime, you are in the darkened shadow of the valley. And I think that's a picture again of the 23rd Psalm. We walk through the shadow of the darkness. And yet we are not alone, never alone. For you are with me, I will fear no evil. Well, fear is one thing, dread is something else. And of course, mental health is now a big issue, and it's been talked about in secular terms. And about a month ago, 2 months ago, six or seven of us from St. Mary's here went up to Epping. We had a day there about mental health. Not that it made us experts, but it helped us to look out for signs where people are being in problem borderline mental health things. And it was never there in our day. You just told to get on with it. But so today it's a big issue. And I think what I would say is there is no fear, but there might be dread. And dread is something that saps the energy. It sucks things out of you, things that sort of impose upon you, things that sort of come and worry you to the point that you can't get on and see the sunlight. I've got a friend, he's been here with me a few times. He's from Austria, again, I mentioned. And he seems to be one of these depressive people because he's always saying, I can't see, I can't look up, I feel I'm going through this dark valley. Now, I can say this now because he's not likely to listen to me, but from a Roman Catholic background, he's not been encouraged to read the scriptures. But I've got an excellent translation by a Jesuit priest, Nicholas King, and it really is first class because I've read it and his commentary is excellent. And I've given him my copy. I've got another copy now, and he's reading it because he'll do it because it's from the authority of his own church. And again, we get our strength and our energy and our knowledge from our reading of the scriptures. And I would hope and pray that as a collection of people here that you are reading your scriptures on a daily basis. Because it is only as the word is in us, as we are so infused with the word of God, that the Holy Spirit will bring to our mind scriptures and relevance at times of need, to raise us out from that sense of dread and give us encouragement. You are at my right hand. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And there are many, many such scriptures. I can remember the many times over. And again, I've mentioned this before, that when I was a very new Christian and working in a factory and was not aware of any in-depth reading of the scripture, but I was there pushing rivets in airplanes, and it came to my mind that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I couldn't even remember even reading it. But obviously the Holy Spirit had brought that thought to me, since I was in a working environment that wasn't particularly looking at God or for God. But I'm getting again the point that if we read the scriptures on a daily, regular basis, we become infused with God's word, and the Holy Spirit brings that to life in us at a time when we need it. So I was able to understand, you know, that it isn't flesh and blood, it isn't people that are necessarily putting us down. It's more than that. They are only instruments. But if we look to God, we look higher. So when I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil because you are with me. God is actually with us. And there's quite a lot of talk, and sadly, I think even in Christian circles sometimes now, about talking about other faiths being for brother faiths, being companionable faiths. Hang on, there is only one faith, and that is the faith of Jesus Christ. Others might have similar roots. Islam has a similar root. It comes out of the Abrahamic sort of history. But Islam is not the same as Christianity. I have to say it absolutely, definitely and forcefully. I listen to sometimes the prayers for the day, and I remember they have different religious people. And there was an imam one day, he was very good on practical points, as are many of the others. But what he did say, and it was rather a revelation on the thinking, he said that God came down to the lowest level and looked out over the people. And I thought, that's a very good picture. But our God didn't just come down onto the lowest level to look out over the people. He came down to live with the people. Jesus lives here with us as people. Last Sunday afternoon, because it was rather lovely, we went up to High Beach. And Joyce and I were sitting on a log. And along comes a lady, very friendly lady, and comes up to us and begins to talk to us about Christianity. And she then quickly says, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Now, 80% of what she said, we could believe and we could have affinity with, being Saviour, being, and all those things. But she added, he's not God. Yes, he is God. Jesus Christ is God, was God, is God. But this lady made that difference, you see. In Jehovah's Witnesses' thinking, he was a superior person who God had created to bear the burden of sin. No, God bore the burden of sin. Jesus Christ himself, God himself. Now, okay, very tactfully we tried to say that. She gave me her phone number and her WhatsApp number, and I've sent her a little Christian note since then, and she's thanked me for it. But I pray that she'll have the revelation to see that her Saviour is Jesus Christ, the God, not just the superior man. So therefore, we walk through life's journey, don't we? And we get all these pressures coming upon us. And I think people today have more than ever, pressures upon us. So what can we say then? He restores my soul. And that word soul intrigues me. So I did get the reading, and I wanted to read another scripture about the soul. It's rather a mysterious word. Sometimes it's translated as living being, but soul is something a little bit more unique. So in Matthew 16:30-24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life will find it. And here's the word. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? To gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul. It's as if God is saying, no, that is mine. And elsewhere the scriptures do say, all souls are mine. And having been to many taken funerals on occasions, one comes across people who in their life have been phenomenally successful, made money, been business, and have been phenomenally successful, and then switched off. And what? I can't say whether they forfeit their soul, but that would be the impression, because there had been no occasion when God had been part of their lives. A lady gave a talk this week on the theme, is this seat vacant? And her theme was, is the seat vacant or is he there with you? The seat vacant. God with us, in our lives, part of us, being part of, infused in us, being part of every part of our life. So what do we come back to then? Protect and guide life's journey, the reward of faith. I've probably said some of it already, really. You leave, Psalm 23, you lay a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, we're grieving for Sri Lanka, and they are grieving, and we mentioned it already in our prayers, Sri Lanka. And people might cynically say, well, where was God? Okay, a legitimate question, where was God? But our prayer today is that those people today also will be emboldened and reinforced to realize that God's presence, it is not for nothing. And we might ourselves be much in prayer for the persecuted church, for in other places too. So you lay a table in front of me, anointed, my cup overflows. Unfailing love. Again, the love of God, what is it? how do we define it? I don't think we can define it. It's undefinable, indefinable in our thinking, because we think in straight lines. It is difficult for us to think sort of more broadly. But God's love is a much more embracing, totally overwhelming, all-consuming, everlasting love. And it's something that I don't think we can begin to understand. We like people, we love some people, those our spouses and our families and those who are close to us. We may say we love them. I don't think we can say we love everybody universally, not if we're honest with ourselves. We might like lots of people, but God's love is an all-consuming love for those who don't love him. And that is what Paul said of himself. I am the greatest of sinners, he said. And yet God loved him. God came across him. God encountered him. God met him. And he became then the disciple of Christ. I read again this, we can be encouraged as well. I've never had a dream of God, and maybe not many of us have, but we are hearing more and more of these stories where God is appearing to people in faith in dreams, and particularly to Muslim people, because I've met and lived amongst God-fearing Muslim people. And it seems that God goes the extra mile sometimes and reveals himself. There was a case I read of this week of a lady who was very much a jihadist who encountered Christ, is now preaching Christ as the answer to life. And let us pray more and more that in these days, and maybe they are the latter days, that more and more the presence of Christ will be in those places where Jesus Christ and his people are being persecuted. I think somebody, a government minister himself, said there are 245 million Christians around in some areas that are being in areas that are being persecuted at this time. So therefore, the unfailing love of God never fails, all-encompassing. And my last point is dwelling place. That word dwelling. I live somewhere. I dwell there. I live there. And yet it's only temporal. I should move on from there sometimes. I've lived in half a dozen places in my life. But to dwell is to sort of be comfortable in. And we dwell in the presence of God. We actually dwell in the presence of God. His presence is with us and goes with us. And when we talk about citizenship, I'm a citizen of this country. Maybe I'm a citizen of Europe. I don't know. That's being debated at the moment, Brexit and all that, but I am a citizen of this country. But the scriptures do say that we are a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, from whence also our Savior comes. And again, that's again in scripture. So we're citizens of Britain, the United Kingdom, but we are citizens primarily of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got dual nationality, if you like. Dual nationality. We are citizens. And I would pray that his presence will be with us in our citizenship. Now, in our daily reading this week, which Joyce and I have been reading, there's been quite a lot from the Psalms and the Old Testament about the ritualistic religion. And the Jewish people in the past days, God criticized them intensely because they followed the ritual, and Jesus himself came up against it with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious of their day. And yet, Jesus criticized them because their heart was not in their ritual. They went through the ritualisms, but their heart was not there. And Jesus faced them many times over. And, okay, I'm not criticizing all you people here, but we have to examine ourselves many times over. You know, we have to be sure that we are truly worshipping God from our heart. The ritual helps, and I've been helped. I rather like the C of E system because it's quite elastic. It allows us in the ritual to find the worship of God. But it can't just rest there. It's got to be me as well. So His presence is my dwelling place. My dwelling place is the presence of God. So to reiterate where we've come from, he restores my soul. And that was our theme. He restores my soul. All souls belong to him. My soul belongs to him. And because of that, I should be with him. My life's journey, he is accompanying me through it. And my rewards of faith are the fact that there was a table prepared before me. That is there for me. That is there already as a promise. It is a promise of God that that table is laid out. And his unfailing love surrounds me. And his presence dwells with me all the time. So I hope this morning that from the Psalm 23, we will go away with knowing that we have that total and absolute assurance that we are with Christ, in Christ, and Christ dwells with us personally here in this church today on this date, the 28th of the month in this year of 2019. So amen. Amen.